and relevance, and the same with review, repetition, and practice. Okay, are there any questions on the assignment? Use the particular topic. Use the technique to aid memory in that particular, in your topic. Use that to teach the class the information or to make the point. Any questions? Okay, so we'll need five groups. So the groups will be a little larger this time. So we'll have the Matajis to take the first group and do the importance of practice. The second group, all the devotees were, well, maybe that's too many, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. All the devotees up to, okay, all the devotees who are sitting on the chair, in chairs, will do repetition. Then, I think we'll have to maybe make that one a little shorter. Review. These six devotees over here. Over here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then these six devotees from back. Oh, 7 over here. Do codes and clues. So we'll okay, yeah, why don't you do that? Codes and clues. And that leaves you two, right? Okay, why don't you go into this group and we'll put, and also Subhash in this group here. You do relevance. So there's four of you, and when we'll put more people in your group. Okay, all those in the first group, raise your hand, that's the Mataji. So that's, shall we do practice? Second group? Okay. Third group? If you're in the third group, review. Fourth group? Codes and clues? Okay, and relevance? Okay. So break into the groups now. I think that classroom is open again. It wasn't open before. So try to read everything together, understand it, choose a discussion leader, discuss it, that you're going to make a presentation, call for different ideas to make the presentation, go a little deeply into it, think of some alternative ideas. There's actually would be a good exercise to take a look at the system, the discussion system, to the different stages in a discussion to work out a practical solution on page 72 of your book. Clearly present the discussion's theme. Ask for the facts in the situation. This one may take some adaption. What do you think should be done? Take some different opinions. Ask for alternative opinions. Why do you think this would be the best one? Clarify the problem. What exactly is the problem? What do we have to do? This is actually not completely relevant. But use a system, something like this. See if the discussion leader could do this to go through the, to come to a solution. First, go over the materials. Make sure everyone understands it. Discuss the most important points. Then think of, get alternative ways to make the presentation. Choose one, decide how to do it. Practice. We'll start with 15 minutes for them to work on it. And then I'll go around, and if devotees need more time, we'll give them more time. But try to get it done in 15 minutes, at most 20 minutes. Like, the presentation could be at most 5 minutes. Any questions? Okay, break into the groups, and if you haven't been assigned to a group, Come up here and I'll put you somewhere.
So our group was given the task of explaining the importance of relevant teaching in the attempt to increase memory and recall among students. And to illustrate the effectiveness of capturing interest and ultimately increasing memory, we thought of the example that Prabhupada set in the 1960s, because at the time that he began preaching in New York, some of the major part of the audience were people who were into taking LSD and different kinds of intoxication, and getting high was, and terminology relating to being intoxicated was definitely in the minds of his immediate audience. So some of the first invitations to the programs used terminology which connected with the way of thinking and speaking. In other words, he used relevant phrases to the way of thinking of the audience. I think one of them was, an invitation was to one of the programs mentioned staying high forever, no more coming down, aspects of chanting. So that's an illustration of how something's relevance can have a very potent effect. But in terms of teaching, if students find importance in the subject matter, then they're more likely to retain the subject matter in their memory, because they'll form certain emotional connections with the information, which will create a basis for remembering something. It'll be there on a deeper level than just the intellect. So if there's something that's relevant to the interests and the situation that the students are in. So it's important, another aspect of this is that it's important for teachers to take time to explain the relevance of the subject matter, even though it might be a little bit demanding of energies. It's important to take time to make sure that the relevance is understood. Another side of the time factor, though, is that in teaching and the relevance of teaching, is that in a life where, which is very short, time is a very valuable commodity. So, to teach things which aren't directly relevant would be neglecting the fact that life is short. So, teachers should always be mindful that of the relevance of what they're speaking. And another example, a final example, actually, to illustrate this is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, where which begins with Maharaj Parikshit asking Sukadeva Goswami what amounts to being the most relevant question that that anyone could possibly ask. And because of its relevance, even 5,000 years later, the conversation that followed that question is still full of meaning for people of all places and under different circumstances. So just because of the relevance or the immediate importance of the subject matter, the effects of what was spoken following that question have endured the test of time, which is basically what teaching is also ultimately meant to accomplish, is establishing something on a level of the students' thinking, which will endure the test of time, which is the subject matter which we're explaining is increasing memory and recall the teaching.
A few comments on relevance. People listen carefully when they feel that what they're going to hear and learn is useful and important for them. Otherwise, practically speaking, it's impossible to keep one's attention on what is being spoken. If one feels the information presented is useful and important, even urgently important, then somehow or another, they will hear, they will learn. Prabhupada gave the example also of when your house is on fire, or when your neighbor's house is on fire, somehow or another you communicate to them. And they act immediately because their house is on fire. So when your house is on fire, it is very relevant information to your well-being. So you are very attentive to hear. A story that I think is a little funny was, I remember in the early days of the movement, not even the very early days of the movement, the thought that of having something like welfare, material welfare activities in hospitals for the devotees, we would just laugh at it and scoff at it. And I remember one prior headmaster of the Gurukula here, one person was talking to him and said, "Why doesn't ISKCON open hospitals?" So philosophically, we all know that we are not concerned with the material body, that we are concerned with the soul. But this headmaster wasn't exactly an ISKCON devotee, and he said, "Ari Baba, they are young. Why will they want to open up hospitals?" And although we all laughed in those days because he wasn't getting the philosophical point, but now we see there's a health and welfare ministry in ISKCON, and they're talking about old age homes for devotees and orphanages and hospitals, because we are getting older and older and our bodies are starting to fall apart. So people are actually only do things and are interested in things that are relevant to them. So if you want to get your class to listen, you have to explain to them the relevance. Either through Stay High Forever, this is the most relevant thing. It's cheaper than LSD. That's what it would be, the thing he said. Something like that. Or Prabhupada did one time when he saw in Newsweek magazine that it was saying about crime was causing so much trouble in the United States, he started preaching about crime, that Krishna consciousness can solve the problem of crime because it was a relevant topic. So, as the Dharma Prabhu pointed out, we should not teach anything that is not relevant. And whatever the relevance is, we should teach that, explain how it's relevant, and therefore open up our students to the information and increase their interest by teaching the relevance expressly, explicitly. Those like that presentation by Narottamananda in the first few days. If I stood up and said, "I'm going to make a presentation on how to purchase plane tickets in India," so that's not a very exciting topic. No one's interested. But if I said, "How many of you would like to save half your money by purchasing a plane ticket in the right place? How many of you would like to save half your fare?" Like that. So then if it's presented like that, I'm going to save money, great relevance, I raise my hand, I'm interested, and then my ears are open. So by explaining the relevance of something, people's interest is captivated. many nice points. Okay, next one was codes and clues.
So I'd like to begin this presentation by asking you all a question. How many of you find that when you, sometimes you try to remember something and it just doesn't come out? It's just at the tip of your tongue, but you find that it just won't come. How many people find that? Like quite a few of you. So how many people would like to overcome this problem? Would anybody be interested? Wonderful. It makes it worthwhile what I'm doing now. So actually there is a way, believe it or not, there is a way. And it's a way to aid our remembering. Actually, there are three methods which are presented, which you'll find in this wonderful book that Grugion has produced. But I'll just quickly summarize them now for you.
So the first distributors of book distributors are distributed books.
So the first problem, you know, you may be going down the road, you may be looking for a certain road, or you may be talking to somebody, and you've gotten their name. All these problems we face continually. But there is a way we can remember them. The first one of these ways, it's called a recall code. So I'll put it down. What we're going to do at the end of this lesson is that we're going to ask you to remember all the three points which are involved in recall of codes and clues. So the first one. It's called recall code. So, for instance, say you dream about Vegeta, and you come to a verse that you thought you knew well. For instance, Dahino Sminjitade, Gomun Jorminjara. And then somebody comes up to you, and they ask you, what's the last word on the second line? How many people put your hands up straight away if you can remember that? One, two. It is? Jana. Yeah, that's right. So most people find it very difficult to remember straight away when they're asked what the last word may be of the sloka. So the easy way, if somebody gave the clue straight away, they said, gave you the first word of the sloka, then very easily, dahino, and then quickly we'll be able to assimilate in our minds exactly what we want, what we're asked for. So this, whenever a person is given the first word of, or a word to stimulate, something that helps us to remember something else which is in sequence someday later on. And this is called a recall code. The second one, method of remembering, it's called recognition. Recognition. An example of recognition is, for instance, a multiple choice. Obviously, everyone's done exams. We haven't had any yet, who was here, but multiple choices are something many of us have experienced. And in a multiple choice, you may be asked a question, and you've got a set of answers to choose from. So you may not be asked to recall, like number one, you may not be asked to recall a certain aspect or a certain point, but you'll be asked to recognize something from a set of things. So you may not have put as much effort into trying to remember the exact wording of something or an exact point, but you'll be asked to recognize something and you'll have a choice. So this is we find in different things, in different situations when we come across this. So this is recognition. And the third one is called, third method of remembering. It's called a mnemonic structure. And this particular one, this particular example, will help us to achieve the explicit objective of this lesson, to help remember all these three points. A mnemonic structure is a way we can remember something we're not familiar with, and we may use some letters or a variety of different clues to help us remind us of what we're supposed to learn. So give a practical example. For this, I've asked you to remember these three points. So an easy way to remember would be to take the first letter of each one. Anyway, I apologize, my first time I'm practicing. But R?
That's
it, is it? Not, yeah. But the last one is, it's not N-M, it's M-N. M-N. So. M-N. Okay. So we'll give each one of these letters another name that we're familiar with. So the first one we'll say Radha. The second one we'll say R-M, we can say Radha Madhava. It was actually going to be rather than that, but we're just like, anyway, last minute changes. Anyway, we can say rather Madhava. So then I drop these examples off the board, and hopefully, when I ask you, you'll be able to remember what RRM stands for. So the first, just to summarize, the first R is for recall code. The second R, which is rather also, is for recognition. And third one is for mnemonic structure. So these are all technical things, but they'll help you a lot once you start to apply them in a practical way. So now what I'd like to ask you is first, who can remember the three... who can remember the code which we're going to be using for to remember the three points? Yes, could you
read? Radha Madhava.
Okay, and what do they stand for?
Recall, recognition, and mnemonic.
The rhymes with mnemonic.
Oh. All right.
Structure. That's a clue.
Okay, so thank you very much for listening, and I hope you can use these in the future, and they'll help you to remember those things that are on the tip of the tongue, but they're not quite there.
Hare Krishna.
Namah. Just a simple point. What are the three words? What are the codes? What's the recall code of the mnemonic structure that you had to remember that much? Okay, what were the words? So you're using something familiar to pull out something that's less familiar. Unfortunately, now every time we think of Radha Radha Madhava, we think of mnemonic devices, recognition, and recall codes. that's what actually Krishna does. Uses these techniques in the Bhagavad Gita. He uses relevance. He says, if you hear this, listen carefully, and this will free you from all sins. You'll go to the place where you'll never have to come back again to this material world where there's repeated birth and death. So by explaining the relevance in this way, then our ears are open. He also connects everything in the material world with his energy. Everything is his energy, but he connects it with his person. So that that every time we see earth, we see Krishna. Every time we see water or drink water, rasa homa sukante, we think of Krishna. Mama tejo angsa sambhava. Everything that we see in existence, yad yad dabuti mat satvam, you see something beautiful, and it should bring to one's mind Krishna. Spark, they're all different recognition devices for remembering Krishna. Every combination of matter and spirit is just simply a combination of Krishna's two energies. Everything you see is just a combination of matter and spirit. So So we can just remember Krishna with everything we see. So the important thing, and the teacher has to remember this, is to, and you did it right at the end, is again, as safe you're doing, is that you have to make very strong the link. You have to emphasize the link between the codes and the objects you want to pull up by pulling on the code, the thread. Because if the thread isn't attached well, you pull on it and nothing will come. So, like, the example is Vedanta Sutra. Or Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur lectured on the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam for how long?
3 months.
So that means, this is a glory of Sanskrit, is that with each Sanskrit word there's unlimited meaning. But first you have to hear the meaning, or think about the meaning, and connect all the different meanings to that word. And then, by remembering the word, you think of all the different meanings. But if you don't make the connection strong between your code and the word, that's the most important thing. You have to make the connection very strong between the code and the word. And how to do that? You have to emphasize it. You can use the other teaching techniques to emphasize it. Repetition, relevance, practice, review. Or the other way. Very often these things, the sloka is composed in rhyme. The whole Chaitanya Charitamrita practically is rhyme. So it's more easily memorized. The Vedas are chanted as slokas, as mantras, so they're easily memorized. So rhyming, chanting them, repetition, so many different ways, but you have to make the connection very strong. As Madame Mohan said, you have to give it some emotion to connect them. Emotion is glue. By saying how important it is, that brings out an emotion. You can do all kinds of tricky things. Even by, if I wanted you to remember what I was going to say, I could even, the R stands for Radha, it's by going like this, the R stands for Radha. Just by putting in that sound, it just brings emphasis in there. There's many things that can be done, but the main point I'm making here is that if you're going to use a code or a clue or some mnemonic device, you have to make sure they're connected very tightly.
I just have a question, not that the presentation was deficient in any way, but just seeing the way you've written RRM and put the lines on it, could it have been a more effective presentation by putting the RRM at the top of the board from the beginning and then explaining how that's going to connect into a learning device using codes? And then you could do it that way, or you could take,
you know, there's unlimited ways to do everything, you know. Different colored chalk and unlimited ways to bring attention before you want to use a pointer. You know, if you have a tape recorder and you know when you point to the R, you know. Now we're going to do an R. So there's the element of variety in there, but in Krishna consciousness we can't make it so much like a variety show and still keep the gravity of the subject. But still, the tech, if the speaker, for instance, is very intent on the importance of the connection. Or just by saying, what does, if I, we didn't know how to pronounce the third one, right? Yeah. Now, how to pronounce it? You know now?
Demonic.
Demonic. And how do you remember?
Because it rhymes with demonic.
So very, very simple. Just by putting that little trick in there, it makes you... It makes it very easy to pull it out. So sometimes when something is very abstract, like numbers, it's very hard. So I have to think of a word that rhymes with them in English and connect that to a meaning or something like that. Little tricks that one learns how to do. Okay, the next one is, code, relevance, review. Who is doing review?
Try to give a simple presentation.
Yeah.
You have been spending two words more about serial clue.
Serial clue is that one...
String of serial clue.
Okay, I'll give a presentation on serial clues and a very interesting little trick later, either today or tomorrow. A serial clue is when one clue leads you to the next, like a story. You're thinking about one part of the story, and then when you're thinking the next part, you immediately think of the following part, and the next part, the next part. One clue leads to the next, leads to the next, leads to the next, leads to the next. That's the idea.
So, we have to give a presentation on review. I'll give a practice presentation. We're starting today a subject matter which is called memory recall. Memory recall, so far we have learned two main subjects. Does anybody of you can tell me the first subject that we learned today? Relevant. Can anybody name the second one? Anybody name the third one? I suppose everybody knows. Review. I have just used a second form of review, which is called retest. Retest is a form where one calls the student to remember the facts that have been taught before in order to retain them in the memory, to sink them deep in their memory. And review, of course, review, that the world says, is you review all the points that have been stored before. That's the simple.
Okay, so that's review
and retest.
And retest. Okay, now.
If I want to review what I've been learned, I will call on any student to please tell me the subject that's been studied. And which points are we learning there?
Remember to pause, you have to ask a question. You have to ask a question and you have to pause and look, otherwise no one raises their hand.
Rolling time, bro?
The subject we are talking about.
Yes.
How to increase memory and recall.
This is again, I'm trying to sink it into you. This is called retest. It's a second form of review. reviewing, you review all the subject that is being taught in the lesson before, the lesson from yesterday, to bring it back into memory if you have forgotten anything. And the test is what we're learning today in order so that it sinks into your, let's say, your memory computer and it stays there so you can bring it out when needed. That's the best I can do.
Yeah,
you have a strong teaching presence. So retest and review. So which one to use? At which time you use retest when it's very fresh or it's still fresh in the student's memory, you give them a retest, and then a review is better to use after some time. The idea is that the memory. This is a person. There you go. And this is the part of his brain that he's using right now, right? And this is where he's storing all that information back there. So if you keep all the information back there, gradually so much dust gets on it and you can't get to it anymore. If you memorize a sloka and then you don't review it occasionally, you won't get access to it again. It's difficult. So every day, if you you can retest yourself on the slokas, bring them out from the back part of your brain to the front part of the brain and say the slokas. And then, but if you forget them, you have to review the meaning again. A retest won't help you if you've forgotten it. You have to look at the sloka again, you have to memorize the word by words again. Maybe you'll memorize it really fast because you know it pretty well, but you've just forgotten it a little bit. So when something is fresher in your mind, you use a retest. And then when something is needs some dusting off, then you review.
Term retest, we're used to using it in the sense that if a student does badly on an examination, yeah. The teacher will retest by relearning.
Yeah.
Now you're saying that if you've already got it there, just keep using it while it's still
right. Test. Just like tomorrow, so I have to think of a word that rhymes with them in English and connect that to a meaning or something like that. Little tricks that one learns out of this. Okay, the next one is code, relevance, review. Who is doing review?
Try to give a simple presentation.
Yes. More about serial clue.
Serial clue is that one
string. Well, of serial clue.
Okay, I'll give a presentation on serial clues and a very interesting little trick later, either today or tomorrow. A serial clue is when one clue leads you to the next, like a story. You're thinking about one part of the story, and then when you're thinking the next part, you immediately think of the following part, and the next part. One clue leads to the next, leads to the next, leads to the next, leads to the next. Let's see.
So, we have to give a presentation on review. I'll give a practice presentation. We're starting today a subject matter which is called memory recall. Memory recall, so far we have learned two main subjects. Does anybody of you can tell me the first subject that we learned today?
Relevance.
Can anybody name the second one?
Connection.
Anybody name the third one? Because everybody knows. Review. I have just used a second form of review, which is called retest. Retest is a form where one calls the student to remember the facts that have been taught before in order to retain them in the memory, to sink them deep in their memory. And review, because review, that the word says, is you review all the points that have been stored before. That's the simple.
Okay, so that's review
and retest.
And retest. Okay, now.
If I want to review what I've been learned, I will call on any student to please tell me the subject that's been studied. And which points are we learning there?
Number four is you have to ask a question. You have to ask a question and then you have to pause and look, otherwise no one raises their hand.
Calling time, bro?
The subject we are talking about.
Yes.
How to increase memory and recall.
This is, again, I'm trying to sink it into you. This is called retest. It's a second form of review. Reviewing, you review all the subject that is being taught in the lesson before, the lesson from yesterday, to bring it back into memory if you have forgotten anything. And retest is what we're learning today in order so that it sinks into your, let's say, your memory computer and it stays there so you can bring it out when needed. That's the best I can do.
You have a strong teaching presence. So retest and review. So which one to use at which time? You use retest when it's very fresh or it's still fresh in the student's memory. You give them a retest. And then a review is better to use after some time. The idea is that the memory this is a person. There you go. And this is the part of his brain that he's using right now, right? And this is where he's storing all that information back there. So if you keep all the information back there, gradually so much dust gets on it and you can't get to it anymore. If you memorize a sloka and then you don't review it occasionally, you won't get access to it again. It's difficult. So every day if you you can retest yourself on the slokas. bring them out from the back part of your brain to the front part of the brain and say the slokas. And then, but if you forget them, you have to review the meaning again. A retest won't help you if you've forgotten it. You have to look at the sloka again, you have to memorize the word by words again. Maybe you'll memorize it really fast because you know it pretty well, but you've just forgotten it in a little bit. So when something is fresher in your mind, you use a retest. And then when something needs some dusting off, then you review.
This term retest, we're used to using it in the sense when a student has batted on an examination, the teacher will retest.
Yeah.
By relearning.
Yeah.
Now you're saying that you've already got it there, just keep using it while it's still learning.
Test. Just like tomorrow, if I tell you all, as soon as we get to go to the board, I write down RRM. What does this mean? So that would be a retest. And the purpose of that retest, because in 3 days you'll forget what it means probably, but if I do this tomorrow, then you'll remember what it means. Right? And then if I do it the next day, you'll remember what it means. And then I do it the next day, and the third day, you'll still remember what it means. Right? But if I just, so I'm retesting it each day, and that's bringing it out to your short-term memory, so it's staying fresh. But if after 3 days I just gave you that test, you might not remember it. So there's a retest, and then if you didn't remember it, then I would have to review the information. This is a technical way to use the term. I don't know if that's exactly what you're describing.
I think if it is relevant to everyone, then RRM would stick in their mind. That's our point. I mean, that's the subject matter we were trying to teach.
That's is most important, for sure. Okay, well, yeah.
So are you saying that retest, unlike practice, was more of a part of the teacher?
A retest is not telling the information again. Asking the question that's going to call it up, the information of practice is, we were talking before that practice is more an activity. Well, practice writing the verse, practice saying the verse. I guess that could be a form of, say you would have the verse in front of you, right? And you could be practicing it, and the practice could, I guess, take the form of retesting yourself, or it could take the form of reviewing. So some of these are very technical. To try to make the distinctions between them is tricky, but I think everyone is getting the principles. And these are all very important to teach it. To teach in such a way that someone learns. Any other questions? What was it? Repetition? What, repetition? Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
In Srimad Bhagavatam is mentioned that in this particular time, in Kali Yuga, the man will be very forgetful and his memory will be very weak. How to increase the potency of our memory? How to help us to develop our memory? Shastra themselves are giving us the simple method which called repetition, repetition, repetition. Now I would like to write few points why we're using this simple method of repetition to increase potency of our memory. And on the end of the lesson, I would like to ask some of you to repeat. In the Srimad Bhagavatam and other shastras, there are many shlokas, there are many verses which repeat different important words few times. Every one of us know the shloka Harinam, 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 Kevalam. In this particular verse, the word Harinam is mentioned a few times just to help us to memorize the importance of this word. This is very simple method. Srila Prabhupada was used many, many times, especially in the beginning of his mission. He was preached for the very low class of people, for the following conditions, so living in the West. And he used this method to increase potency of our memory very successfully. He was like a perfect gardener which was putting the seeds of information in the field of our intelligence, and by repeating, by the repetition, he was watering, and he was increasing the potency of our memory and our understanding. This method is very often used even by the modern media. Everyone knows, especially people which living on the Western countries, the system of advertising is based on the repetition. They repeat the information by the sound, by radio, or by the short films in the TV. Information and concepts which are repeated several times and which understanding clearly are memorized and will stay in our memory for a long time. Repetition of something is very necessary to understand it clearly and understand the whole matter of the subject matter without any doubts and errors. And now I would like to ask some of us, without looking on the board, to repeat the 3 points. Why the repetition is very important method to increasing our knowledge. Would like to say?
It's a bona fide method.
What?
It's a bona fide method. It's a very simple method, and it fixes it in our memory.
That was a big jump.
I guess it works.
Shy.
I think the class is supposed to be over 5:10.
Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Then we'll stop. Tomorrow, this chapter, we get up to order, storage, order, and structure of memory. We'll do that. We'll complete that. From number 14, storage, order, and structure of memory, to the end of the chapter. Please read it carefully. How many of you, just curiously, if just your impression that if I gave you a list of 10 items, say if you were going to go shopping in Loy Bazaar, things like a Loda, a pen, some mosquito repellent, some sweets, some banana, 2 bananas, 3 apples, and a mortar and pestle. So if I gave you a list of 10 things, a little slower than that, how many of you think you could memorize them very quickly, like that? Just if I gave you, if I name those 10, be able to repeat it back to me. Raise your hand if you think you'd be able to repeat it back to me if I gave you those 10. Just after hearing it once. I wouldn't use any repetition, but I do it a little bit slower. How many of you think you can do it with 10 items like that? Okay. How about 15 items? Okay.
Now, tomorrow I will show you a technique, where you, a memory technique, where you'll be able to memorize 15 items, just like that, just by me saying them one time. What type of a closure is that?
Cliffhanger.
Cognitive. Cognitive, yeah, and it's got that linking element, doesn't it? And by putting in relevance, all of you thinking how much paper and pen and ink you're going to save by, you learn this mental technique. It's very clever. Okay, so come on time tomorrow.
Hare Krishna.